Now, as you heard there in the bulletin, Aer Lingus regional flights operated by Stobart Air have been cancelled with immediate effect after Stobart Air announced it has ceased operations. I'm joined now by Ashley Connolly, National Secretary at Forsa, which represents cabin crew, and by Evan Cullen, President of the Airline Pilots Association, IALPA. Ashley, if I can go to you first, did you have any idea that Stobart Air were about to make this announcement this morning?
KJ, I can absolutely say neither myself nor any of my members were expecting of this announcement, that they received an email after midnight which informed them of the decision that the company were now entering into liquidation. It is having the most devastating impact on our members, and I have been in touch with most of them throughout the morning. But I can absolutely say this was unexpected.
But you had you not been working with Stobart, you know, trying to navigate their path out through this pandemic?
I've been working very closely with Stobart over the last 18 months in relation to, and I can say, and I must stress, that Stobart Air were healthy when we went into this pandemic. It was a healthy company. It was also looking at expanding its routes from some of its bases in the island of Ireland. And that was as recent as the last couple of weeks. But there is no doubt the impact of this pandemic on the aviation sector. This is yet another casualty of a lack of action, as we see it at this stage. The government, we call on them, there is a real need for urgent action. The time has passed. Each week we are seeing further announcements being made. What we have seen is the impact of Stobart Air going into liquidation, our connectivity into the UK, our public service obligation flights, the impact it will have on Kerry Airport, on Donegal Airport, and we've recently seen the announcements on Shannon Airport. All of this needs urgent action. I cannot stress enough the devastation that this has had on our members. A lot who I know quite personally and have gotten to know over the last few years, who have given decades of service to the aviation industry. They previously would have worked for Air Arran. These are long-serving, experienced staff who woke up this morning to the most devastating of news.
Can I bring you in, Evan Cullen? You've been warning the government for some time that something like this was in the offing.
Regrettably, Katie, the loss of these 480 jobs comes on top of the hundreds in Shannon, the layoffs in Cork, but also the people who lost their jobs in CityJet this time last year. What we're seeing now is the result of a failed government policy. What we're seeing now is that the inaction of the government in conflict with other governments on their lack of support for the industry that they have shut down. It is the government policy that is destroying this industry. The ongoing debate about antigen testing, when every other country has settled that debate long before now, is symptomatic of a government that's captured by NPHET and that is going to cost even more jobs. This is only the tip of the iceberg, Katie. There will be thousands of layoffs this winter in the aviation sector if this government does not act.
And just to remind people, Evan, you, of course, represent pilots. How many pilots will be affected by this news today?
There's approximately 120 pilots there in Stobart there. But also, we've lost an awful lot of pilots in the other airlines as well. And we can't forget those people, all of the people in CityJet who were based in Ireland when they pulled out and effectively moved their operations to Scandinavia.
OK, I'll just stay with us there. I want to put what you said and what Ashley has been saying to Sean Fleming here. You know, they're very clear. This is a consequence of government action and inaction.
Yeah, first of all, I think everybody is shocked this morning to hear the news, and it's devastating news for everybody in Stobart. And it's not a question, is there a wind-down situation? They've stopped their flights this morning. So the shock and the speed of the decision by Stobart is shocking. A number of issues have been mentioned there. The Donegal, Kerry routes in and out of Dublin. There's a public service obligation, and I know first thing Monday morning the Department of Transport officials will be working to get that reinstated as quickly as possible. They'll probably have to go through some emergency tendering procedure agreed with the EU, but the obligation is to get that in straight away. The other issue I do want to say is for the passengers now. Those where Stobart was flying in and out of routes in England, Edinburgh and other places like that from Dublin. The connectivity is still there. There are other airlines will be able to carry those people. Aer Lingus is still operating in most of those areas. The only area I'm not sure of this morning is flights emanating from Belfast heading to the UK. We're not quite clear on that, and the Northern Ireland authorities will have to deal with that. But for the staff, this is devastating news with the company going into liquidation.
Okay, would you respond to what Evan Cullen and Ashley Connolly are saying there in relation to the government's role in this?
Yeah, look, I understand that, and I wouldn't want to have any argument with anyone this morning, you know, when there's such bad news being delivered to all the people they represent. What I will say is, I think airlines across the world have difficulties. You know, there's job losses in the biggest airlines right across Europe, despite all the government subsidies. People can say other countries have received big subsidies from their government. They have, but they've lost thousands of jobs as well. People are not as inclined to travel this year, even when all the restrictions and we have the digital certificates in place. People will be a little bit slow, and I think the industry knows it's going to take a couple of years for it to get back to the capacity it operated on prior to COVID. And people, even if there are no restrictions on travel, a lot of people will just wait another year before they actually get on a plane to go abroad. And that is going to be, and the last point I will say is, this is definitely, not just in Ireland or across the world, one of the sectors of the economy worldwide that has been specifically hit hardest by COVID, and that's something the government both in Ireland and in Europe will have to look at.
Okay. Can I, Ashley, do you want to respond to that?
Well, what I will say back is that since last July we've seen three published reports. The first one from the Department of Transport, the second one from the Joint Committee, and then the third one from the industries, the National Civil Aviation Development Forum. But what we're not seeing is the action and the recommendations. From Air Members' perspective, they are very angry with the government. They believe that there has been a lack of political leadership. But also, they believe that these reports are welcomed. Every time a report is published, it is welcomed by all stakeholders. But what we're not seeing is a move by the political parties to implement these recommendations. And yes, we're very aware that aviation will be the last to recover. We have been stating it now for since last May. We have called for social dialogue to engage all stakeholders to ensure that we can support this industry from now and into the future. But what we have to decide is the impact temporary or is the impact permanent? And our fear is that we have seen nothing in what may be coming down the track unless we see real action as a matter of urgency.
Evan Cullen?
Unfortunately, the comments of Deputy Fleming and also the statement of the Department of Transport just demonstrates once again how removed they are from the reality of what's going on here. We need direct intervention, just like in Germany, Spain, Italy and France and across the US. We also need to put an end to this debate on antigen testing. IALPA has invited Professor Moyne of Harvard to a conference to discuss rapid antigen testing. We have also invited senior members of NEFIT to join in that discussion, because we want to hear exactly the rationale for the government's advice on refusing to implement antigen testing that is implemented in almost every jurisdiction in Europe. It is extraordinary that this government cynically allows vaccinated people to fly, but their children can't fly, and has done everything possible cynically to prevent the reopening of aviation in July, despite the comments of the deputy here today.
Okay, I don't know. Is Ashley Connolly still with us? Just, I'm going to put that issue of antigen testing to you. I just wanted to get raise one last issue in relation to the workers here and redundancy measures for them. Ashley?
Thank you, Kate. And I suppose we will be fighting tooth and nail for our members to receive the best outcome following this announcement. But we are very well aware that, as you know, the unions have been calling for action in terms of maximising employment protections when people find themselves in a situation. What we have had is, from the time of Cleary's to the recent debacle and what we've seen in terms of the Debenhams workers. We need urgent action to ensure that there is maximum protections for people in a liquidated situation, that they are moved up in the line of priority. So, but we will be engaging with our members and we will be fighting tooth and nail to ensure they get the best outcome from this most tragic of announcements.
Okay. I want to bring the panel in then. Louise.
Yeah, well, I think first and foremost, Katie, you've got to be thinking about the people. Over 400 people getting absolutely devastating news this morning at the absolute worst possible time. They're not just numbers, they're not just statistics, they're people with families, with bills, and they are facing a very uncertain future. The representatives of the aviation industry and of the workers in the aviation industry have been very clear, as has Sinn Féin through our transport spokesperson, Darren O'Rourke, in relation to what is needed. And Ashley made the point there, and she's right, we're coming down with reports. They know exactly what it is that needs to be done, but they have been reluctant to do it. So what we have this morning is a statement from the Minister for Transport where he describes the supports that are available. All of those supports are available to all industries. There were no specific supports for aviation. So when the government and their representatives in both the Dáil and the Shannon cry crocodile tears over job losses, they need to look very hard at what it is that has caused those job losses and the failure to put in place a plan. When plans have been presented to them. So, I mean, we're coming up to the anniversary, the 1 year anniversary of the Aviation Task Force report, 12 recommendations, only two of which have even been implemented. So it's not like there's not a roadmap. It's not like the information isn't there. They have the information. They know what they need to do. They haven't done it. And so we have arrived at the inevitable place now where there's job losses. What we need to see is urgent action in relation to, and Ashley said right when she says urgent action, yes, it'll be late even if it happens now, but it is urgent. Okay. We need to see a plan for reopening aviation safely and a plan to support the aviation sector specifically, which is what Sinn Féin have been calling for since the start of this pandemic. We need to see that, and we need to see the Minister for Transport stop his hands-off approach, because if you talk to people in the sector, Katie, and I do every day of the week, they will tell you that there is a lack of interest on the part of this government in saving the aviation sector. Our connectivity is important, but just talking 140,000 jobs are also important too.
I do want to bring in, we have travel journalist Owen Corry on the line. Good afternoon, Owen.
Afternoon, Katie.
Owen, a lot of people are really concerned, particularly about those PSO routes going with this news this morning. Is there any light at the end of the tunnel in terms of what might be done to save those routes?
Yeah, there's a few complicated factors in this collapse this morning. One of them is the PCO routes, which may have to be re-tendered, and that may have to be an expedited process. Now, there are other airlines that might pick that up. Aer Lingus, in the meantime, this is, you know, not really an Aer Lingus problem. It's something that subcontracted these routes out to Stobart Air. So they will be in the business of finding another carrier to pick up those routes. It's a time when there's a lot of these sort of aircraft, turboprop aircraft, a lot of airlines looking for this sort of business. So in a way, finding another carrier to step in at short notice could be a much easier process than it would have been 18 months ago. The big issue is that these routes, this contract was due to run out, not at the end of this year, but the end of next year. And the airline, which is to take it over, being set up by Conor McCarthy, Emerald, there is a question, you know, he's obviously, instead of having 18 months to put this together, will he be able to expedite that process and pick up the Aer Lingus regional route? So a lot of questions out of what's happened this morning. And to be quite honest, the Stobart story over the last 2 years has just been a series of riddles and puzzles and conflicts. And they appear to have run out of runway just because of that difficulty of getting investment. While COVID is the heart of this story, the problems about this go back to before COVID.
Okay. Thanks for that, Owen. I just want to bring Cian O'Callaghan. Cian.
Yeah, and I think certainly the government, the way they've talked about this has been as if it's a kind of hands-off approach, as if they're a commentator to this. And it's the government is recognising that aviation has been the hardest hit one of the hardest hit sectors, but we don't have the specific supports for the aviation sector. We haven't had the implementation of the task force on aviation's most of its recommendations, and it's not good enough to say, oh, there's been job losses in other European countries. We need to have action now to get these routes restored and to get our regional connectivity back. The economic impact of that, you know, in terms of tourism and other economic ties, is huge. And that has to be addressed very, very urgently.
Okay, a lot of questions to answer for you there, yeah. Sean Fleming.
I'll be succinct as I can. First of all, I think it was said it, we do need a social dialogue for this area, and that's very important. There will be one or two or three key sectors when we come out of COVID, we'll have problems way worse than other sectors. And I think the government has to take a targeted approach on those.
But, you know, the government set up a task force,
yeah.
You know, and which produced a report.
Yeah.
And where was the implementation?
Well, you know, we're living through COVID. You know, that's the reason why you don't have the implementation of all these things. Another thing, just to put on the record, Owen came on and said there was issues with Stobart before COVID. We know there was back a while ago, they were seeking new owners. The owners wanted to dispose of the company, whereas the first speaker said, it was a great company before COVID. Some of what has been said has not been fully accurate here. And it's important. And there were issues with Stobart beforehand. Stobart are the people who get the cheque, if you like, from the Irish Exchequer for the public service obligation.
This isn't the only aviation failure that has come upon us in the last number of weeks. There's a pattern here. This is an industry that is teetering on the edge.
Yes, and if you're in the United States, the exact same conversation has been held in the United States with several regional airline operators in the United States as well. So look, at COVID is affecting this area worldwide. It's not just an Irish issue here. And I think people understand that. And I think once we get, you know, a seamless travel back between Ireland and England and we get the digital certificate, people will be able to move much more freely at that point.
Well, you'll need antigen testing to do that, Sean. And no disrespect now, but you're not in government in America. You're in government here. So really, the people who are losing their jobs, they want to know what plan is in place. Are you going to protect their redundancy? Are we going to have another Debenhams? Can't allow that to happen. But the 140,000 people from whose jobs depend on aviation want to hear from you that the government is going to embrace antigen testing, is going to support the industry
and ensure that it can recover. I'm after saying here there needs to be social dialogue with everybody in this particular sector. I've just said that. And to say you shouldn't talk about what's happening in other countries. Everybody else has mentioned what's happening in other countries, and I'm just agreeing it's a worldwide issue.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break, but we'll be back with the views of Ryanair Chief Executive Michael O'Leary after these.
Saturday with Katie Hannan on RTE Radio 1.
And you're welcome back. Ryanair Chief Executive Michael O'Leary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
Good. Were you surprised at this news from Stobart Air?
I think neither we nor the Irish aviation industry was surprised. It's inevitable, and there's going to be more failures, while sadly that are entirely due to this government's complete mismanagement of the COVID recovery situation. The biggest issue for Stobart Air, as it is for Aer Lingus and for Ryanair, is that this government and Transport Minister Eamon Ryan, we have the UK common travel area is closed. They hide behind the Indian variant in the UK, yet people can drive across the border with Northern Ireland with no restrictions whatsoever. And what's remarkable is the UK will allow Irish people into the UK without restrictions because we're 40% vaccinated. But we won't allow people to come back from the UK despite the fact that the UK has 60% of its entire population vaccinated. It is nothing other than an attempt by the government and NEFET to keep us locked down far after there is any medical need to keep this country locked down.
Well, that's your view, Michael O'Leary. You are not a medical expert. And the government have been quite clear at all times that they were operating on public health advice, and all decisions were taken in the interests of public health.
That's great. I'm glad you explained that, Katie. But, I mean, it would be helpful if RT would get somebody on to explain in the interest of public health why people from the north can travel across the border with no restrictions, yet we require people coming in here from the UK to have a negative PCR certificate despite the fact they have exactly the same level of vaccinations and they're coming from exactly the same country.
But Michael O'Leary, you know yourself that there are... difficulties of closing the border with the north. So just because it is impossible or difficult to do one thing, it does not mean we should leave all borders open.
But what's the difficulty with the common traveller with the UK? The British welcome Irish visitors in there with our 40%
vaccination. We don't have the same level.
Without restrictions. Could you let me finish the point, please? We won't allow more vaccinated UK visitors to travel to Ireland on Stobart, Aer Lingus and Ryanair services, but we allow exactly the same citizens to travel across the north, the border with the north. So I fully accept it's a political problem, but then please don't tell me that it's a public health issue, because it clearly isn't. The aviation industry in this country is on its knees. There's going to be more failures because, despite the success of our vaccination programme, we continually refuse to allow the British visitors to travel over here, despite the fact that they're more vaccinated than we are. And we continue to fail to roll out the EU Digital Green Cert, which can be rolled out on Monday morning for vaccinated Irish citizens, but our government won't roll it out.
But Michael O'Leary, you will be across, I'm sure, all developments in the pandemic in the UK, and you will see what's happening there in relation to the Delta variant.
The Delta variant has increased the case numbers, that we absolutely accept. It hasn't increased serious illness, it hasn't increased hospitalizations, and thankfully it hasn't increased morbidity. But the Delta variant in the UK is exactly the same Delta variant as you have in the north, and we can't get the Transport Minister, Eamon Ryan, to explain why we allow UK citizens to travel over the border from the north with no restrictions, but we ban them from flying in here from the mainland UK. There is no medical basis for that. It's a political decision to keep us locked, that this country locked down, and to prevent UK visitors coming here, despite the fact that many of them are Irish citizens.
So again, and I'm going to say it again, they are acting on advice that they have been given to them from NPHET.
I wish you'd stop actually making up that excuse, Katie, because it's simply not true. They get exactly the same advice from NPHET on UK citizens coming here from Northern Ireland and UK citizens coming here from the UK. UK citizens coming here from the UK are more vaccinated than we are. They have 80% of their adult population vaccinated.
In many cases,
require,
with just one, with one dose of vaccination.
We require those vaccinated UK citizens to have a negative PCR test when they come here. I have to go to London on Wednesday to do a press event. I'm thankfully vaccinated, being the age of 60. I've all my vaccinations done. I can travel freely to London on Wednesday, but to come back into this country, I have to get a negative PCR test on Monday, despite the fact that I'm vaccinated. Now, please explain to me, or ask Transport Minister Ryan, instead of issuing another vacuous statement, why do Irish vaccinated citizens who want to travel to the UK have to get a negative PCR test coming home? And equally the same, if we're vaccinated here in Ireland and we want to travel to Europe, why do we have to get a negative PCR test coming home? What exactly is the medical evidence for that? What's the NPHET advice on that? It is completely made up rubbish. And that's why the aviation industry in this country is on its knees. I've heard Sean Fleming repeatedly say it's the same in Europe, it's the same in America, and it's the same in Asia. It isn't. The American aviation is back to pre-COVID levels. Asian aviation is back to pre-COVID levels. And on the continent of Europe within the Schengen area, they have removed most, if not all, of the travel restrictions with the same level of vaccinations as we have in Ireland.
We
cannot get a minister in this country, Minister Ryan, the useless transport minister, nor Minister Varadkar, nor our Taoiseach Micheál Martin, to explain why they're keeping this country locked down, despite the fact that they let unlimited UK visitors in here across the Northern Ireland border.
Can I ask you, in relation to the supports that are now required or needed to maintain the aviation sector here?
There are, the supports the aviation sector needs in this country is a functioning transport minister. Immediately restore the UK CTA so that at least we can welcome vaccinated UK visitors in here. That would actually prop up a lot of the Stobart, Aer Lingus and Ryanair operations. It would also prop up our regional airports. And all it requires is to simply remove the CTA restriction. The UK adult population is 80% vaccinated, and yet we won't allow them in here to this country during the peak of the tourism season. I know we keep talking about the Irish will take their staycations in the south and on the west coast, but the hotels in Dublin are empty. The tourism industry in Dublin is empty because we won't allow vaccinated UK visitors to fly here from the UK, despite the fact that we'll allow them to travel unrestricted across the border with Northern Ireland.
Just in relation to that figure,
Do
you've repeatedly mentioned there that 80% of the UK population has adult population has been vaccinated. Many of those may have got their first dose, and many of them are waiting for their second dose because of that long gap that they put in place in the UK. And we know that you only have 33% protection against the Delta variant with one dose of the AstraZeneca vaccine.
And yes, the UK allows Irish citizens to travel to the UK without restriction, despite the fact that in Ireland we are 40% of our the total population has received the first dose. We won't reciprocate under the common travel area, despite the fact that the UK is 60% have received first dose. And I keep making the point, while you keep defending the Neffet and government mismanagement, why have we a different policy to UK citizens in the north of Ireland who can travel across the border with no restriction, but we ban UK visitors even if they're vaccinated? I mean, even the vaccinated ones, Katie, are not allowed to fly here without getting a completely useless negative PCR test. And we wonder why aviation is on its knees. So what supports does our industry need? We need a functioning transport minister, one who hasn't sat on an action plan since the 20th of July last year, near 11 months, with absolutely no action. Himself, he's great for issuing meaningless statements this morning. We haven't in Ryanair received a call from Eamon Ryan today. We could step into the breach with Stobart.
We've already
called Aer Lingus this morning offering to take stranded passengers on our flights from Dublin to Glasgow, Edinburgh and Birmingham. But would the Transport Minister know where we are, or call somebody, or pick up the phone? No, he'd just issue a useless statement with more vacuous pledges of action next week or next Monday.
What are the options for those routes, Michael?
Well, most of the routes between Ireland and the UK are already operated by Ryanair. We've been in contact with Aer Lingus this morning. We've offered to take any stranded passengers on our flights from Dublin to Manchester, Glasgow, Edinburgh in the coming days. We would happily work with Aer Lingus to accommodate the any passenger bookings they have over the next couple of months. So the people operating between Ireland and the UK, I'm sure, would be reaccommodated because Ryanair will work with Aer Lingus. On the short-haul domestic routes, Kerry, those PSO routes, those passengers can transfer to trains or to buses, so at least they're not going to be stranded. The immediate priority must be the stranded passengers in Dublin who want to get home to the UK, and the stranded passengers in the UK who cannot now get back to Dublin because of the collapse of Stobart. But the Stobart has collapsed because of the CTA mismanagement by Eamon Ryan and this government.
Okay. We'll leave that there. Many thanks for
joining
us with that reaction today, Michael O'Leary. Do you want to respond to that, Sean Fleming?
I just say briefly, first of all, I think a lot of Irish people have a great regard for him as an entrepreneur, as a businessman, and the number of people he's employed and where he brought the industry, people being able to travel around the world, which we couldn't do before. So I have great regard for him. However, it's the first time I've ever heard anybody in a single interview on 8 separate occasions raising the issue about Irish people being allowed across the border between Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland. I've never heard of it in my life. That being said, as part of this debate, as if there's something wrong with that. I know he's making a point it should be allowed to come from London, but he doesn't allow people. He seems to be highlighting the fact that she can go from Newry to Drogheda. 8 times in the short interview he raised that issue. I don't believe he thinks we should close the border, but he certainly
he thinks we should open up the other.
He shouldn't be using the history of Ireland to make his commercial point on this issue. And the last thing I will say, just to get his own facts right, he said people can take the trains from the region. There is no train to Donegal, and anybody who knows anything knows there's no train to Donegal. So he's not right.
Okay, but the main point he's making is that government inaction led us to where we are today with this.
No. COVID led us to where we are today. So if people want to blame what's the cause of all these problems, it's because of COVID, it's because of the Delta variation, it's because of the COVID virus around the world. It is not the fault of governments. Governments are trying to ameliorate the problem as best we can, with 40 billion of taxpayers' money we will have to be paid back for all the support. So the government is doing mighty and main work to get this done, and COVID is the problem, not the government.
I think you'd have to accept the government position on this, that, you know, despite what Michael O'Leary might say, that there was, real public health reasons for making decisions they made in terms of routes and the common travel area. Yeah,
there's no public health reason for ignoring the reports that have repeatedly been done into the aviation sector. There's no public health reason for ignoring the fact that aviation needs a recovery plan. So when we talk about connectivity and flights between here and London, say, for example, that would be an ideal opportunity to pilot antigen testing. It's something that my colleague Darren O'Rourke has been calling for since last October. So I think what people in aviation want to see is some action from the government, not that they will just shrug their shoulders and say this is COVID's fault or it's the same as another country. I think what they want to hear is how are the government going to put the aviation recovery plan into practice. They have all the plans, so they really need to start by piloting antigen testing on short-haul flights. I think that can happen. That should have happened already, okay. But that could happen very quickly, okay. And needs to be done.
OK, just before we leave this, I want to bring it back in, Eoin Corrie, just for people who may have been booked on flights with this airline now that has gone under. What do they need to do?
They have to wait and hear what Aer Lingus are proposing. The contract with Aer Lingus means that they're going to get back to where they're supposed to, whether it be in England or in Ireland, and not an airport next door to it. They have to get back to exactly where they came from. Aer Lingus will be working. We've just heard Michael O'Leary offering his considerable fleet to bring them home. Some of the airports are served by Ryanair. Some of the smaller ones are not, but everybody will get to where they are supposed to. The aircraft are available. Aer Lingus's problem, it's Aer Lingus's problem, not theirs. And Aer Lingus's long-term problem is to a longer-term or medium-term problem is to get another person, another airline in to look after those routes before Emerald Air take them up at the end of next year.
Okay. Eoin Corrie, many thanks for that. And we'll take a break.